Hello and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby, and my very special guest today, Tricia Licorice. So I want to take this opportunity to thank each and every listener for your kindness, your feedback, and your loyal support of the Visions program over the past year. I also want to thank those individuals who so kindly donated items that were then distributed to others in need. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And as I wished you last week, a Merry Christmas, I hope that all of you had a peaceful, joyous, and contented day and season. And I'm wishing you good health, productivity, and continued blessings in the new year. So here's to 2025 with all our blessings. So Tricia, welcome to Visions, and thank you for so graciously agreeing to be my guest.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be your guest.
Thanks. So Tricia, let us start. We met a few years ago, and I want to learn a little more about you. So just introduce yourself to us.
Okay. I am Tricia Licorice, my name. That's my married name. And my maiden name is Howell. I am 42 years of age, and I love craft. As in, when I say craft, I mean decor, I mean decorations, and also crafting things to eat as well. Because I just like to see how things are put and how things are decorated, even with food. So basically, that is me in a nutshell. And I love the beach. That's something else that you, I would like to let you know. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I am intrigued also by interior design and decorations and just the style that can be manipulated with, you know, the various items that are used. So I can identify with your love for decorations and so on. How you blend colors and really bring the best out in a room or a setting, you know?
Yes.
Fantastic. So Tricia, that is one side of you, but another side of you, you have a condition that I would like you to tell us about it and how it has impacted your life.
Well, I have a condition named PCOS. And what that is the long and short of it, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. Basically, it's a disorder that affects your ovaries. It affects how you have a menstrual cycle and also with fertility and weight loss and a lot of other things. Because honestly, the list can be really wide. Because when I first was diagnosed back in 2015, what the doctor had told me was that, you know, if they had known earlier, it would be something that they could try to reverse or at least, you know, moderate it, that it won't be so hard on me. But when they check all the symptoms and the things that I described, when I was diagnosed in 2015, I had already had it for about 7 or 8 years before. So that was the issue right there and then.
Okay. So In terms of having this condition, this syndrome, mm-hmm. Were there any symptoms that you noticed prior to being diagnosed?
Yes. I realized that when they talked about the weight gain and then weight loss, as in 1 minute it seems that you're gaining weight and then the next minute you're getting small. And I realized that right away. And a lot of the pelvic pains and a lot of cramps, even when I don't have a period. Those are a lot of things I realize. Also, I do not sleep well. And that was one of the things that was highlighted.
Okay.
That people that usually have if they don't sleep well at night, they will more sleep during the day. And I do sleep a lot during the day.
Obviously, this has impacted you mentally, physically, and possibly your relationships, because I know you're married and you have a young daughter. How would you say that this has affected your, let's start with your mental health?
Well, my mental health, honestly speaking, I had to gain a balance where I focus mainly on God and reading scriptures and things like that, and also doing inspirational quotes to myself, because I would have cards where I would tell myself that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God has made me in his image, things like that, to build my self-esteem, because I find that I would have a lot of mood swings and feel like my husband and my daughter is against me and they don't really love me, they're just using me. And, you know, I'd say to myself, maybe it's just me, but what I realized, it was part of the same sickness. And they said that a lot of mood swings would occur. And that was one of the ones that was really troublesome to me.
Okay. And how did your husband and daughter respond to you and continue to give you that love and support?
My husband will always tell me that he likes to say, it's just the enemy and this sickness playing with your mind, but we both love you and I love you so much. I'm here, aren't I? So the things that he started doing and how he would wake up on mornings and make sure that he talked to me before he even leave to just even go in bed and make sure that I'm all right, started to make me realize that it was indeed the sickness and not them doing anything to me.
Great, great. And I must commend your husband, because the love and support is visible. You can see that he cares about you and is willing to give that support that is needed. And sometimes, unfortunately, some relationships do not survive illnesses like yours, you know, or disabilities. So yes, we have to really salute him and appreciate him.
Friends that their marriage is over. She just could not cope with him. And she separated herself from him. And he, you know, didn't really fight to bother with the whole thing because he was just tired of everything. So I know of instances where couples have separated because of this same illness.
Right. And in terms of your daughter, because she would have been still a young girl when you were diagnosed with POS, how did it impact her life? And again, how did she give you or demonstrate that love and support?
Well, at first, because I would fret a lot and things like that, she thought that because she was young and she thought that I didn't want her around, and I had to let her know that it was not that. It was just me being frustrated because of the sickness. So then she would always come and be in the bed with me to watch and see if I am okay. It was amazing in a way because she was really young. I think she was about 7 or maybe 6. And she would always come and like mash up under me and watch me to make sure I'm okay. If she saw any instance where she know that I was either in pain or I wasn't feeling well, she would bring it to the attention of an adult. If it wasn't my husband, as he was at work, she would call my mother and let her know that I was not well. So she really adapted, and it was shocking for me.
That's
I didn't expect it at that young age at all.
That is commendable, because she had enough insight and understanding to recognize when you were unwell and to reach out for adult assistance. That's great. Now, I'm really heartened with this family support. And I also want you, Tricia, to share a little about the medical impact. Do you have regular doctor visits for the polycystic ovarian syndrome? Do you need to take medication?
Well, it's a lot, but basically, in a nutshell, when I was first diagnosed in 2015, I started off with the two medications, which was Narthindrome and Metformin. And what they were trying to do was basically to help me with the insulin and give a balance and also slow down the bleeding, because I wouldn't have like normal periods. I would have just like some things, a whole 2 or 3 weeks of bleeding. So what they were trying to do was to regulate the bleeding and such and the insulin and things like that to help. But then the problem occurred now that it was helping to slow down the blood, but other things were occurring. Like I would have some of these side effects from the drugs, like nausea, vomiting, bloating, and even more stress trying to get to sleep. I would actually have to get up and do things in the house to tire out myself, then to go and lay down to sleep. And the drugs itself was just too much on me. So then after speaking to my doctor, she asked me if I wanted to try something different. At that point, there was a diet called leafy greens, which would be in the morning, you would get a shake with things like kale, spinach, and those things. And that would help with bringing up the blood levels, but also pushing down the insulin in a different way. So I did that, and I also did keto. But the back and forth doctor visits were very expensive. That was really, really hard, because a doctor visit is like $75 to $150 in my case, because of the sicknesses and different things that were occurring. Because when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I also started to get acid reflux. So then it bring on the acid reflux, and then me being anemic then too, because the loss of so much blood, then my ferroglobin went low. So it was really hard, and we would have to be back and forth to the doctor and going and getting different vitamins for me and different supplements to help me basically still feel a bit better, because me losing so much blood all the time would have me very weak. So I wouldn't be able to turn around and do things as quickly as I used to be able to. So all of those things were a factor, and it costed a lot of money, because it even had times where I got that sick that I actually had to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just stressful, because it was frustrating for me to see that at this moment where I should be helping my parents, they were still helping me.
Right.
Because at times where my husband would be at work, and then my daughter at that time was a young child. She was still 6, 7, and eight, and so on. So we needed an adult to assist me when I go to the hospital and things like that. Mm-hmm. And it was something else. It was stressful, but by God's grace, we made it through.
Honestly. Okay. What type of impact, what type of feelings did your parents express?
Well, I think even though my parents always like worried a bit about me, because at first they didn't fully understand the sickness and things like that. So then I started to explain it to them, and then they started to understand that, because I actually had a girlfriend who got sick to the capacity where she was getting a lot of stomach pains. I ended up with an ulcer in her stomach, and she went to get an operation done and end up dying in the hospital. So after that, they were kind of a bit, you know, studying, making sure that I have my iron tablets and whatever supplements and things like that that I need. So they will always ask if I have those things to make sure I have them, because they don't want anything to happen to me. So they were just a bit worried.
Right. And did it scare you when you learned that your friend with the same condition, PCOS, passed away, whether from complications of the PCOS or otherwise? Did it scare you?
It was scary, because when I spoke to her, she seemed okay and everything. And yes, I knew she was in a bit of pain, but then when I got the news, I really didn't take it in too well because I was just standing there like, what? Is her aunt just told me that she passed away. And I just heard her like 2 weeks ago or so. And it really took some time for me to really take it in and say, you know what? I really got to do my research. I really got to try my best and do what I can to deal with my health, despite every now and then I get a few challenges in between, but I need to try my best. So that's when I started to change a lot of my diets and things like that. I had to watch the keto. I did basically sector in part of the keto and kept part of leafy greens. So I basically blend the two diets and that really helped with how my body will function. But every now and then I do get a little relaxed and sometimes my body does this shutting off thing that I really can't explain and neither can the doctors explain because they have run tests and honestly they haven't figured out why it happens that way or what is really going on because I've got so many scans, so many different tests have been done, but nobody can't really explain what happens because okay. I just, you know, get up early and do what I have to do. And sometimes by 7:30 or so, my body just shuts down. And okay. I'm out cold, I get back up like hours after, like nothing didn't happen.
Okay. Well, then, Tricia, this obviously is impacting on your ability to work, to be employed in the open job market. How do you feel about that? And what are your views about persons with disabilities or long-term illnesses being employed or setting up their own businesses?
I think it is probably better for some of us, like in my case, to work from home, but also I still miss the venturing out to actually work. I do miss that. It could be frustrating sometimes, and it's even more frustrating sometimes when I hear people saying, man, I don't get paid, all my money gone, and I'm like, yeah, you don't get paid because it's work. I don't work, so I can't say that I don't get paid because I don't get paid because I don't work. And you know, like, the things that we take for granted, sometimes we don't understand that other people would love to do it. Just like how you were saying, feel like going work or the case might be Monday to Friday or Monday to Saturday. I just think about it and I be telling myself, I remember the days that I used to get up and go to work Monday down to Saturday or Monday to Friday and, you know, feel normal and all of that. But it'd be so different now. Because I could start work and, you know, it feels normal and everything. And then in a couple of days, I just get a setback and the whole thing starts happening all over again, sometimes 2 days in a row. And then when that starts happening, obviously, the person that employed you doesn't want you to work anymore. But it is rough and it's frustrating at times. But I still think that you can still do work. So I think you just need to put things in place for when certain things happen so that somebody else will be able to step up to the plate to do what you normally do. You know, you can still work because there's no way that somebody who was always active can just sit at home and just keep quiet. It's not possible. So when I feel better, I do what I can. And then other times I will just take a little break and rest.
So how do you think the future looks for you? What are your views of your own future in terms of, you know, living with and managing your condition and just living a fulfilling life?
The future holds great things for me because even as now as I speak to you, when 2025 begins, I'm basically looking to do a different treatment that hopefully I'm hoping with all my heart that it works out because I've heard of other people actually doing the treatment and they have actually felt better, which is something called holistic dieting, which is basically they keep track of basically what you do from day to day, what you eat from day to day. So they monitor how you do things. And then they will put things in place, things that you should change to better yourself. Whether if it's just walking or if it's simply just adding certain things to your diet or whatever the case might be. And I've actually seen other people who have gone on with their lives. They're working, you know, they still get little setbacks every now and then, but their life is, you know, much better. It's more fulfilling. So I am expecting that in 2025, I will be heading in that direction.
Fabulous, fabulous.
Get a lot better. Or as some of my friends will say, getting closer to another new normal.
Great. And I think that positive mentality and having a vision of your future does significantly help you to improve and manage your own condition and situation. So, Tricia, what would you say to other young women who may be experiencing polycystic ovarian syndrome?
What I would say to them is don't give up, because when it first started years ago, there was hardly anything for people who have PCOS and endometriosis, which is a similar thing to what I have. And there's so many different products right now on the market and different diets and different doctors, even here in Barbados, know that can help you. So I would say don't give up. And what you can do to better yourself, even if it's just educating yourself on what you have, and what affects you, and what you can change to help your body, you know, relate to what is happening and getting the best out of life. So as I will continue to say, don't give up. As long as you are alive, there is hope.
I certainly agree with that. And I want to thank you for such an encouraging message and so openly sharing your own life story with us. So I want to say thank you, and I want to wish you a healthy, productive, and an amazing 2025, Tricia.
Same to you. Blessings filled 2025.
Thank you. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Tricia Lickridge. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300. You can email me at visionsbarbados@gmail.com, and you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. Happy New Year! Love yourself, and indeed love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. So until then, ciao!